I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Actually, for me, it's the first live broadcast that I've been able to do in the new year. Now, I know you've listened to a couple of the other ones that we had posted out on the radio, actually, over the holidays that were actually copies or pre-recorded broadcasts that we played. I think we had, during that time, we played one by Dr. R.C. Sproul when he was on the broadcast talking about his children's book, The Prince's Poison Cup. And then I think the other one that we had set up to play was about forgiveness, Unpacking Forgiveness, which was just a wonderful book that came out in 2008. And so that was what the other broadcast was about. But it's so good to be with you live back in the studio again, and looking forward to a collection of broadcasts that we have put together, special programming for January 2009, and I hope many of our listeners are going to find these broadcasts very, very informative. Let me first of all just give you a rundown of what we're planning on doing. Many folks may not realize that 2009 is actually the 500th anniversary of the birth of John Calvin. John Calvin, we'll talk a little bit more about him and different people's opinion of John Calvin in a few minutes, but to celebrate that event, this 500th anniversary, there are a number of events taking place worldwide in order to talk about the man, John Calvin, and his mission, his message, all of those types of things. Well, we're going to participate in some of the celebration that's taking place, and we're doing that by dedicating 6 one-hour programs during the month of January to the discussion of John Calvin and his ministry. In order to do that, we are using a book. The title of the book is John Calvin, A Heart of Devotion, Doctrine, and Doxology. It's put out by Reformation Trust, which is the publishing arm of Ligonier Ministries. And we're using this book as a outline for our discussions over throughout the month of January. Now, in this book, there's actually 19 different authors that have all contributed together to write about various aspects of the person, John Calvin, and then also about his mission and his work, what John Calvin did in his life, in his ministry. And so all of those together in this one book, a great compilation. Burke Parsons edited this book and, you know, just did a fantastic job. We're hoping to have Burke on the broadcast as we go forward as well. But just did a wonderful job. Let me read a few of these names to you that have all contributed together. Jay Adams is one of the contributors to the book. Tom Askell. Tom has been invited to be on the program to participate in these discussions as well. Joel Beakey, Jerry Bridges, Sinclair Ferguson, Michael Horton, who was with me just a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago or so, Philip Johnson, Steve Lawson, John MacArthur, Burke Parsons, as I mentioned, Richard Phillips, Harry Reeder, who was our guest just 2 or 3 weeks ago, Philip Graham, who Graham Ryken, I should say, Philip Ryken. He is going to be on the broadcast as well. He's already committed to coming on in January, January 22nd. He'll be here to talk about his chapter in the book. What I've done is worked with the folks at Ligonier Ministries, and they have helped me to contact these authors and pull together all of these folks to come on the broadcast and to speak about all of these subjects related to John Calvin and his ministry. So that's what we're looking at doing. Now, the first one that is up with us is going to be Derek Thomas. And Derek is going to be joining us, hopefully, here in a few minutes. And Derek is involved in blogging through the institutes. He has Reformation 21 is a site that I think is one of the Derek's baby, if you will. He's really created this thing and really is one of the major contributors to that blog. Well, he is now blogging through. They've come up with a schedule of John Calvin's institutes, and they are reading through corporately, you know, across evangelicalism, of course, Reformed circles are reading through John Calvin's institutes, and then they're blogging about what we're reading, so that corporately we can read various comments about what Calvin wrote about in his institutes. And so we're looking forward to Dr. Derek Thomas joining us in just a few minutes. By the way, not only does he do Reformation 21, you can go out there to reformation21.org to find out more information, but also, he's the professor of systematic and practical theology at Reformed Theological Seminary. He's also the minister of teaching at First Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. And so that's just a brief statement about his biographical information. He's just a wonderful theologian and wonderful pastor, and just looking forward to with him being with us on the broadcast here in a few minutes. Let me give you a heads up on a couple other broadcasts that have already been set up that I think you'll find of interest that you may want to participate in as well. First of all, later on this week, on Thursday's broadcast, Dr. Albert Moeller will be with me again on the broadcast. Dr. Moeller has a new book out, and this broadcast was scheduled before we pulled together the ones about Calvin and his ministry. But Dr. Moeller's latest book is called Desire and Deceit, and the subtitle is The Real Cost of the New Sexual Tolerance. And so we'll be talking about sexuality in our culture today and what the Bible has to say about this. Now, that'll be on Thursday's broadcast. You won't want to miss that. I will also, during that broadcast, ask Dr. Moeller to comment about John Calvin and to just give us a little bit of his insight and his thoughts about what he thinks about Calvin and Calvin's ministry. Also, I want to let you know that Tabidi is going to be with us again. I'm going to try to pronounce Tabidi's last name here, and hopefully I won't mutilate it too badly. But Tabidi Anabuila is going to be with us on the broad. He's been with us before. He has such a humble heart, a humble spirit, and so looking forward with him, to him being with us on the broadcast as well. And so when we come back, we're going to take a very quick commercial break. And when we come back from the break, hopefully we'll have Dr. Derek Thomas on the line, and we'll go ahead and start our discussion about blogging through the institutes with him. Let me give you the number before we go to the break here, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
This is Dr. Susan Stegall of Healthy Alternatives, heard each Tuesday at 12:30. If you are experiencing digestive problems such as acid reflux, you are unable to absorb the nutrients needed for health, and medications only silence the symptoms rather than resolve the problem. Colon cancer is the third most common cancer for both men and women, and the diagnosis is preceded by poor digestion. Put a stop to poor digestion before it becomes fatal. Call Integrative Health Group at 864-235-6788.
Here's another academic tip from Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
The easiest way to teach math is money. In this day of credit cards, too few children handle real money. To teach your child the basics of adding and subtracting, just give a few coins at the checkout counter and say, "Buy me some gum, please." Our website is www.stridestutor.org. or call 246-9898.
People with disabilities are too often abused. If you spot abuse of a person with a disability, report it immediately. Under a new law, South Carolinians with developmental disabilities or mental illness have more protection from the crimes of abuse, neglect, or exploitation. The South Carolina State Law Enforcement Division, SLED, has a new statewide toll-free number answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for you to report abuse of a person living in a facility operated by or contracted for operation by the Department of Mental Health or the Department of Disabilities and Special Needs. Abuse is physical or sexual assault. Neglect is not providing enough food, housing, medicine, or supervision. Any person with knowledge of abuse must report directly to SLED. That number is 1-866-200-6066. Again, 1-866-200-6066. If you spot abuse, report it immediately. Everyone deserves to be safe.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the broadcast today. We're going to be talking with Dr. Derek Thomas here in just a few minutes. We have sent out, we've got the satellite link up. We're using our GPS systems and trying to track down Dr. Thomas. We should find him here in just a minute. He can run, but he can't hide. And we're using even some of the drones, the military drones, to locate him here. As soon as we get him on the line, we'll bring him in to the discussion. If you'd like to, if you've been reading through the institutes and you would like to just comment about what you've been reading so far and talk about, you know, if you've been reading Reformation 21's blog, you're certainly welcome to call and talk about that on the broadcast. We can certainly switch to that. I had started to mention, you know, a couple of the folks that would be with us on the broadcast in order to go through this book. And one that I didn't get to before the break was that Philip Ryken I mentioned. We'll be speaking with him about Union with Christ. Tabidi's topic will be the transforming work of the Spirit, but Philip Ryken on the 22nd will be Union with Christ, and we'll be talking with him about that subject. And so all of those broadcasts, I think, are going to be very, very good, and I think will be very helpful to us. I want to mention that at the bottom of the hour, we are going to be interrupted just for a brief second because we're going to be talking with Janet Pershall. Janet's going to be joining us on the broadcast. Her program, Janet Pershall, America, is actually going to start right here in Christian Talk 660. It's going to start after our program. And actually, it started this week, yesterday. And so we're looking forward to that. And I wanted to just welcome Janet to the airwaves here with Christian Talk 660. Isaac Feynman is here with me in the studio as well. And so we just want to say to Janet, welcome to the program and looking forward to her discussion. I'm going to get her to describe her broadcast for us, and so you'll have a good description as to what to expect as you listen to Janet Pershall's America right here on Christian Talk 660. Let's go to the phone lines very quickly. Don from Pittsburgh is with us now. Hey, Don, got some thoughts about the institutes?
Yes. It just strikes me, you know, I've read parts of the institutes. I haven't read all of it, but what strikes me is just the depth of perception that God had given John Calvin. I mean, you know, of course, it came out in what, 3 or 4 different editions.
Mm-hmm.
But even his first edition in what, 1536 or 1539?
I think 1539, right?
Yeah, his knowledge of God, his perception, you know, that. What does it say in the beginning, that proper examination or evaluation of man started with a proper evaluation of God, and just, mm-hmm. you know, the depth of our sinfulness. You know, for someone who was only a Christian for a short time,
mm-hmm.
you know, that wow, I mean, and just it just is all the way through the institutes, whether you're talking about what he writes on the knowledge of God or the knowledge of man or prayer. You know, people think that John Calvin was, oh, dry and stuffy, and nothing could be further from the truth. If you read the institutes, or if you read his Bible commentary, you see a warmth there and a depth.
Amen.
That is lacking in so much writing today.
You know, I wanted to get Derek to comment on this when he gets on the line here, but so many people, they hear the name John Calvin, and right away, you know, they're very much, animosity or what. Yeah, exactly. And I tend to find that many people who have that type of reaction about John Calvin really have not read anything by him. They're
right.
They're really working off of a characterization that has been promoted about him. Exactly. And if you actually open up like something like the Institutes or some of his commentaries or whatever, that what you just pointed out is what people miss out on, that there was a warmth there. There is this man. In fact, the book that we're working from is called A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine and Doxology. And
yeah.
That's exactly what you see. He was devoted to the things of Christ. Certainly he wasn't a perfect man, and he wasn't infallible by any stretch of the imagination. And we're not saying that at all. But we're just saying that this man had tremendous gifts that were given to him by God, tremendous writing ability to write with such clear clarity in his writing about these things, and yet for to have the warmth of his love and his devotion for the things of Christ to come through on these doctrinal issues was
he
a
had,
real.
He had such a passion.
Mm-hmm.
He had such a passion, and you know he combined intellectual depth with that warmth.
Right.
That we're talking about, and
which is a tremendous lesson, don't you think, Don, for all of
yes.
us? And it's such a rare commodity today to find somebody that can actually speak intelligently about the subject, but yet can do it in a way that is respectful, that can do it in a way that conveys that warmth. It seems like there's a number of different pitfalls you can fall into. You can understand the material, but then you speak about it in a dry, cold, academic sense, and you don't get that warmth that comes. Or you have the warmth, but you really have not mastered the material, and you really don't, let me just be blunt about it, sometimes don't have a lot of things to say on the particular subject.
Well, so, that's right, and unfortunately today people tend to be either one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a rare person like God used John Calvin to be able to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he wasn't perfect, and no one is.
That's right.
I disagree with him, for example, about the Sabbath.
Mm.
And yet the way he observed the Sabbath would be a far cry from the way our culture does.
Mm-hmm.
His treatise on prayer in the Institutes is just so, I mean, it just covers all the bases.
Mm-hmm.
It covers all the bases, and there's enough there to convict. There's enough there to stir on to more of a desire for prayer. It's magnificent. So I think it's very fitting that we should observe the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth and have this broadcast.
Well, thank you, Don, for those comments. And
you're
welcome. You always have such great insights, so we appreciate that. We're going to go right now. We've got Derek on the line, Dr. Derek Thomas. Dr. Thomas, we thank you very much for coming on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Oh, thank you, dear brother, and a thousand apologies for being late.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm in the middle of teaching a course, and the heavens have just opened, and I was standing there wondering, shall I cross the campus for this phone call or not? But anyway, I'm here, but slightly wet.
Well, thank you for doing that on our behalf and going through the deluge there, in order to make it with us on the broadcast. We've just been talking about a couple of preliminary items ahead of time. Let me just tell the folks again that you're the professor of systematic theology and practical theology at Reformed Theological Seminary and the minister of teaching at First Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi, as well as, I think, the leading contributor there on Reformation 21 website, Reformation21.org website. And so we just are so glad to have you on the broadcast to talk about this issue.
Well, thank you so much. Actually, I'm not the leading contributor so much as I am the editor of Reformation21.org, but it's a wonderful pleasure to be on your show.
I wanted to ask you, Dr. Thomas, that in your, you know, we're using John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine and Doxology, this book put out by Reformation Trust as our outline. Your chapter in this book is, you know, you give a tremendous summary about John Calvin's life. You do a really good job of a very succinct summary. So if folks want to read that, you know, obviously it is very good from a historical perspective to have that clear, how he got started and a little bit about his life and then specifically about his ministry. But I wanted to ask you, what would you want people to take away from that chapter? Obviously, there's a historical value there. But what do you think would be the homiletical lesson that they should glean from that historical account? What do you want them to see in Calvin's life that they would then, you know, should emulate in their life?
That's a really, really good question. You know, Burke Parsons, who edited that volume, has done a magnificent job of getting a number of folk together to write on various aspects of Calvin's life. And Calvin was an extraordinary character in that he was a preacher, a pastor, a professor, had a massive intellect. But, you know, the one thing I think that I think about Calvin is, you know, his concern for godliness and the Christian life. A section of the Institutes, was finally published in 1559, and at that point consisted of four different sections, four books, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
The one book had four different books in it. And part of the third book was actually independently published and has had something of a life of its own, and it's called On the Christian Life, in which he deals with mortification of sin and holiness, or what he would have called vivification, putting sin to death and putting on the fruits of the Spirit. And it's a marvelous, marvelous little section on the dynamics, a biblical dynamic and a reformed dynamic to boot, on the idea of sanctification, what it means to be holy, both negatively and positively.
Yeah, you know, I love the breakdown. People may be a little bit, inundated by the sheer volume of the Institutes, but it is broken down into these various books that you talk about, and so you can break it down into smaller, digestible chunks, if you will. And what you guys are doing with blogging through this is extremely helpful, I think, in order to help folks to continue to break this down into small, manageable chunks of information that they can digest on a regular basis. Dr. Thomas, just before we continue our conversation, I got to tell you a couple things. One, we had scheduled to take a very quick break here at the bottom of the hour to introduce a Janet Parshall, who is now going to be on right after our program. So we're gonna give you a chance to catch your breath after running across the campus. We're going to take quick commercial break. I'll talk to Janet for just a couple of minutes,
okay,
and then we'll come back to our conversation with you. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Excellent.
Thank you.
So we'll be back with you in just a second. And to our listeners, Don from Macon, Georgia, you're up next when we come back from the break. We'll give you an opportunity. We're going to ask you to hold through our conversation with Janet Parshall, if you don't mind, and then we'll get you right on. And you're invited to call as well, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. We'll get back to our conversation in just a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
A compelling mix of ministry, public policy, lifestyle, and lighthearted fun on the phone. Janet Parshall's America.
For a lot of people, they're scared to death. They'd rather go to the mission field than to bring any kind of spiritual influence into the workplace. And we know we're being truthful here. Why is that?
We're excited to have her. She's Janet Parshall, and it's Janet Parshall's America. Right here, weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Christian Talk 660. Here's another academic tip from Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
We all spend too much time in the car, right? How about making the back seat a quick study hall? Jason, what's the capital of Utah? Kyla, what's 6 times 9? A few minutes here and there really add up, and short reviews are actually better than hours of study. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
Hi, Mukama.
Oliwa.
Where are you? We have so many people hungry and dying.
Oh, sweet friend, he is right beside you, waiting for us to be his hands of blessing. This is Wes Stafford, president of Compassion International. Children are hungry everywhere. Here in my home state of Colorado, we're facing enormous poverty among children. The Denver Post recently reported 51% of children live in poverty, and the number is growing. If children matter to God, then children must matter to each one of us, right where we live. This is a time for the church to rally, to make a difference, to leave a footprint for others to model. What does it say to a child when we proclaim Jesus loves the little children, hungry little children? Don't wait to get involved. Now is the time. There's just too much at stake. I'm Wes Stafford. Speak up with compassion for the children.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. A number of things going on here and going on in the studio. The phone lines have just lit up, and we've got a number of things taking place. We're in a discussion with Derek Thomas about, blogging through the institutes. We're going to go back to that discussion in a few moments. But before we do, a new program has just started here on Christian Talk 660. It actually starts right after our broadcast at 2 o'clock from 2 to 5. It's a live program. And then on Saturday from 3 to 5, there's a best of. And that program is Janet Parshall's America. Now, I know some of the folks in our listening audience are familiar with Janet Parshall, but we wanted to get Janet on the phone here just for a couple minutes. We want to do a full broadcast with her down the road here a little bit, but we didn't have an opportunity because I've already had things scheduled. I just wanted to get around briefly to say welcome to the station and have Isaac as well welcome her to the station. So let's do that. Janet, welcome to Christian Talk 660, and looking forward to your broadcast.
Oh, Pastor Kevin, what a delight not only to be with you today, but to be a part of your broadcast lineup. And I tell you, I had an opportunity to listen to a bit of what Dr. Thomas was talking about and the important principles of sanctification, and boy, what great stuff. Thank you for the program you do as well.
Well, you're welcome. I was hoping to get you to summarize for our listeners what they should expect when they listen to your broadcast. I had a couple terms that had come to my mind. I was thinking cultural commentary, something along that line. What is that an accurate description of what you would use as a moniker or a statement, to categorize your broadcast?
It is indeed, and I would embellish it just, I think, a tiny bit and say that our calling, being in the nation's capital, is to take a look at the headlines of the day through the lens of Scripture. So we take a look at all the stuff that swirls around our heads and our hearts all day long. We're inundated with information in this country, which, by the way, is not to be confused with knowledge. Believe me, they're two decidedly different things. But for the believer, it's learning how to take the whole truth of the whole gospel to the whole world. When I was a child growing up, Pastor, my best buddies in the whole world were missionaries, and they would talk about what it was like to go to boot camp and how they had to learn in anticipation to their going overseas the cultural attributes of the people they were about to minister to, their eating habits, their clothing habits, their cultural practices. They would prepare for what they would call a transcultural missionary experience. The Great Commission is still the Great Commission, and the call to go into all the world, whether that's your next-door neighbor or the other side of the planet, is still before us, and I'd say the headlines of the day underscores even more the importance and the primacy of that great calling. But we can't go if we're not prepared. If we don't know what that tribe is talking about, if we don't know what their worldview is, then we're going to have a very short conversation with that culture. We can pull an example right out of Acts 17. Paul, first and foremost, was an astute listener. He paid close attention to what the people said, their practices. I see you're a very religious people. So after being an active listener, and by the way, we see that same attribute in Paul when he has his encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch, being a good listener is paramount to being a good evangelist. But secondarily, Paul knew what the world was saying, and then he was able to co-op a line out of a Corinthian poem and take it and stand it on its head and speak biblical truth right back into it. In him we live and move and have our being. So our calling is to have people understand the headlines of the day so they can understand the language of the tribe they're called to minister to, but like Paul in his beautiful example in Acts, to be able to fill in the gaps with the profound, unchanging, and eternal truths of Scripture.
Well, Janet, well said. Certainly one of the most articulate and I think one of the brightest people on talk radio. Janet's program is the gold standard for Christian talk radio, and she's won a number of awards. I had the privilege, Janet, of watching you moderate the debate between Dinesh D'Souza, who's been with us on the program, and Michael Schumer, and you did a wonderful job there at NRB last year, and just really looking forward to your program, and I just really appreciate you taking the time out to speak with us today.
I'm honored to be with you again, not only today, but to be a part of your broadcast, and thank you for what you're doing in upholding the truth of the Scripture. God bless you, Pastor.
Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate it. That was Janet Pershall. Again, Janet Pershall's broadcast now will be right after the Knowing the Truth broadcast here from 2 to 5 o'clock all throughout the week, 2 to 5 o'clock, and it's a live broadcast, so you can call in and you can listen live to that broadcast. And then again on Saturday from 3 to 5, you'll hear a best of as well, and we certainly welcome Janet to the Christian Talk 660 programming here. These guys, Isaac and these guys, are doing a great job of pulling together some really good programming. Let's go back to our discussion with Derek, but before we do, we've got Donald from Macon, Georgia on the line. Donald, you got a question or a comment today about John Calvin?
My question is for Dr. Thomas. My question relates to the translation of the Institutes. I've read through almost all of Book 1 in the translation by Ford Lewis Battles. On the Reformation 21 blog, there's links to both the Ford Lewis Battles translation and the Henry Beveridge translation. I was wondering, what are Dr. Thomas's thoughts on the two translations?
Well, I'm definitely going to give that ability to comment on that one to Dr. Thomas, because you're in over my head. Dr. Thomas, you want to comment on that one?
Yeah, that's a really tough question. I think that Beveridge has the edge on the translation of the Latin text of the Institutes. However, the MacNeil Battles translation is a modern one. It wins hands down on the other material that it provides by way of footnotes and explanations and bibliographies and appendices and so on. So it's a much easier and more informative read than Beveridge, although the scholars will tell you that Beveridge's grasp of the Latin may well be better, and that every now and then one gets the impression that the MacNeil's Battles text may be taking Calvin in a Barthian direction, but that's a very scholarly observation to make. But if I just had the Beveridge edition, I'd be perfectly happy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had to have Donald, had to take you offline there, Donald, because the radio feedback was coming through the airwaves. But I hope that he could hear that answer offline, and I hope that that helped him with his question. Donald, I want to let you know, too, if you send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org and send me your address, I'll send you out one of these books, John Calvin, A Heart for Devotion, Doctrine and Doxology, provided by Reformation Trust, which, of course, is a wing of Ligonier Ministries. Dr. Thomas, you started the blog, and so the last couple of days started with the section in the Institutes, which is entitled To the Reader. And in that section, you know, you succinctly again put together Calvin's comments there about he was surprised or the unexpected success of his first edition. Sum up for us, if you would, please, just what his what people would find reading through that first section to the reader section of the Institutes.
Yeah, it may surprise some people that we're actually blogging on the preface to the Institutes. You know, we probably, most of us, skip over introductions and prefaces, maybe read a paragraph or two. Actually, I've always found them to be the most illuminating of the book. And Calvin's preface is particularly important. You know, the Institutes grew from 1536 to 1559, so over a period of over 20 years, it grew from a small pocket-sized folio that you could put in your breast pocket to five, six times its length in the final edition.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin was always working and tinkering on the Institutes, publishing it in Latin and French. And the preface really tells us what the background and what the intention of writing the Institutes was. Calvin, by this time, of course, he's in Geneva, in Switzerland, but he's writing it for his fellow French countrymen in France who are persecuted, some of whom by the final edition had been executed as martyrs. Think of the five prisoners in Lyon, for example, to whom Calvin had written on many an occasion, urging them to be strong and courageous in their martyrdom. But he's writing the preface to King Francis in the hope, although it's questionable how much hope Calvin had that Francis would heed him, or for that matter, whether Francis ever read the preface or the Institutes. But he's asking King Francis to read the Institutes fairly and justly. One of the claims that the Roman Catholic Church was making against the Reformation was that it was new and novel and recent, and Calvin's point all along is to say that actually the Reformation resembled more the early church than the medieval Catholic Church did. So if anyone could be charged with being new and novel, it wasn't the Protestant Reformation, it was the Roman Catholic Church. And that's partly what he's saying in the preface. So I think it's helpful to know that persecution and opposition lies behind almost every line of the Institutes, and Calvin is urging people to live out and out for Christ, but to do so with theological convictions in their hearts.
Mm-hmm. We had just mentioned that with one of the callers, just the warmness of the Institutes themselves, that I think a lot of people miss out on because they just respond to a caricature that there is of John Calvin out there. And unfortunately, I think that's a problem. We want to go back to the phone line here. We got Ron. But when we come back from Ron's question, I also want to ask you, and I'll just state it now, give you a chance to think about it, but also so I don't forget. But people say, well, you know, in blogging about Calvin and all of this hubbub now about Calvin 500, some people may think, well, you guys are really exalting a man. You know, I want to get your thoughts on that and your comments to someone who would make those types of statements and just see how you would answer that. Before we hear that, though, let's go to Ron from Greenville. Ron, welcome into the program today.
Howdy. Here we go. I've got a PDF file on Calvin and how he was a Sabbatarian, how people take him out of context, using Institutes by Dr. Francis Nigel Lee. I think he's got 26 doctorates. And then also Calvin on women. If you could speak to the whole idea of Calvin and him being a Sabbatarian, because a lot of people seem to think that he said that you could have the Lord's Day any day of the week, which I've seen that proven to be false. I'd like to hear your comment.
Oh, great.
And the women.
Thank you, Ron, for that. And, Ron, again, if you send me your mailing address to my email, kevin@knowingthetruth.org, I'll send you out a copy of the book. I'm going to take Ron's going to take it offline. Dr. Thomas?
Yes, thank you, Ron, for those two questions. They're not easy questions, to be sure. First of all, on the Sabbath, Calvin does appear on the surface to say one thing in the Institutes and another thing in his commentary on Genesis on the Sabbath. Now, that's partly because the Bible itself does so. The Bible talks about the Sabbath being a creation ordinance in Genesis 1, but it also, in its legislation in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, sets the Sabbath in a post-fall redemptive context. And sometimes confusion can arise, both in the reader, but some claim even in Calvin himself, as to which aspect of the Sabbath he's talking about. Now, those who want to use Calvin to suggest that he did not have a doctrine of the Sabbath, are really up against it when you ask the very simple question, you know, what did the Sabbath in Geneva actually look like? Now, irrespective of whether Calvin did or did not suggest that the Sabbath could be held on any day of the week, and I would argue that he did not specifically say that. I do think that Calvin is at his weakest in the discussion that he has on the Sabbath, but if you went and examined what the Sabbath actually looked like in Geneva, you would not find in it any relief suggesting that Calvin did not believe in a very strong view of the observance and the maintenance and the keeping of the Lord's Day as holy. There's often the tale about Calvin playing bowls on the Sunday. That's absolutely and totally false and untrue. It was a Catholic slur that was put on Calvin after he had died, and unfortunately the tale still gets told today. If I had a penny for every time I heard Calvin played bowls on a Sunday, I'd be a very rich man. Calvin on women is a little more difficult to answer in a brief statement. I mean, Calvin had, in my opinion, a biblical view of the equality of male and female as far as creation and as far as redemption is concerned. But Calvin also had a biblical view as to the different roles that men and women are to play, both in the family and in society. And I think that Calvin would be no different in his views on women than, say, conservative Christians who believe the Bible have today. It's one of the more fascinating and somewhat humorous, I have to say, aspects of Calvin's life. When his friend Gwilym Farrell, who had married a girl inordinately young, I have to say, urged Calvin, for the sake of the Reformation, to get married. You understand, these were former Catholic priests.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin had studied for the priesthood, and it was important for the Reformation, for the leaders of the Reformation, to be seen, to honor the state of marriage. And he was urged to get a wife, and the process by which he got a wife is actually quite amusing. And I think if you don't find that amusing,
yeah,
it's probably more reflective of you than anything else.
But yeah,
two great questions. You asked me about honoring the man.
Yes.
You know, I don't think, I mean, let me take it face on and say, yes, it's all too possible to exalt the man over God. I mean, I think we can do that about any individual, and Calvin included, and we need to be careful not to do that. But the spirit of Calvin 500, or the spirit of blogging the Institutes on Reformation 21, is to do precisely what Hebrews 11 does in honoring the various men of faith and women of faith in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
that God has given to us examples of godliness and examples of leadership, and God in his providence has given to us teachers, some who are alive today and from whom we profit immensely, and we listen to their sermons either in the flesh or on the internet or a download of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
But many of the preachers that we are instructed by, of course, are dead.
Mm-hmm.
But though dead, they still speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this enormous privilege in God's providence of sermons and writings and more importantly, the institutes, which I would say is among the four or five most important books in theology, a part that is from the Bible itself.
Mm, that's quite an endorsement. That's wonderful, Doctor, and that is a wonderful answer to that question. I really appreciate that. Let me run back to the phone line very quickly. We have Annette from Greenville on the line. Annette, go ahead. You got a question for Dr. Thomas today?
Yes. My question is really kind of elementary and yet maybe more comprehensive. For those of us who are just have heard of Calvin in general, I wondered if you might be willing to give sort of a brief bio of Calvin, specifically his place in history, who his contemporaries were, and then maybe just a brief sketch of what is Calvin 500, what is Reformation 21, and what are these institutes?
Sure.
Because we hear you talk about them, but to plug them into maybe the more general understanding that any of us have might be helpful.
Sure. Great question, and obviously I probably should have did more of that right in the very beginning, but let me just tell you that I'm going to go ahead and give you a copy of this book because I think that will be very helpful for you.
Okay.
Just send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org with your mailing address, and we'll make sure we get a copy of the book out to you right away. I'm going to go ahead and let Dr. Thomas take fill that out a little bit offline, if that's okay with you.
That's fine, and I'll hang up.
Okay. Thanks, Annette, for that call. Dr. Thomas, there you go. What is just a brief summary? It's got to be really succinct.
It's got to be really brief.
Yes.
Calvin was born in 1509, so beginning of the 16th century. He's born in France, studies initially to be a lawyer. When his father dies, he changes his mind, studies to become a Roman Catholic priest, is caught up in what is essentially the beginnings of the Reformation in France, is converted, then writes what is a secular piece of work, a commentary on Seneca, wants to live a life of scholarship, and basically become almost a recluse when he's passing through Geneva, and Guillaume Farel is in Geneva and threatens a curse from God if he dares leave the city and not help in the process of pastoring this emerging Reformation in Geneva. And in Geneva, he will be for the rest of his life, apart from a couple of years. The church in Geneva didn't like the reforms he was introducing through him and Farel out of the city. He goes to Strasbourg for a couple of years, comes back, and then spends the next 25 years until he dies in 1564, spends the rest of the time preaching, teaching, lecturing, establishing a seminary, leaving behind a couple of thousand sermons, many, many tracts, commentaries on almost every book of the Bible and the Institutes of the Christian Religion, a book that he started to write in 1536 as a very young man. He was in his middle to late 20s. And the final edition published 4 or 5 years just before he died. And as I said earlier, one of the most important books in theology apart from the Bible, and a book that we certainly study here at Reformed Seminary and all the conservative seminaries in the United States would insist on their students looking and analyzing and studying this great, great book called The Institutes of the Christian Religion.
Great question, Annette. And let me just tell you, too, that there are a number of other resources about Kelvin and about celebrating this 500th anniversary of his birth. A couple good places for you to go for that, of course, would be reformation21.org. You can go out there. They are blogging through it, but they also have a number of resources there as well. By the way, Dr. Thomas has written the endorsement for 365 Days with Kelvin, which is a wonderful book. I'm reading through it myself, put out by Dr. Joel Beakey. And no one is better, I don't think, at doing that, taking Kelvin's commentaries and weaving them into a daily dose of commentary on the scripture. And then Dr. Beakey adds his commentary at the bottom of each one of those. And Dr. Thomas has written a wonderful endorsement of that. So I want to mention that as well. Let me just say, too, that Kelvin500.org, Dr. Thomas, you're participating in that. Is that true? Will you be one of the featured speakers?
That's correct.
And that'll be over in Europe? Will that be in France?
In France and Germany, although I think I'm only going to be in the Geneva, France and in Paris and Geneva, I should say. I'm only going to be in the Geneva part of that. This is a commemorative time. The highlight and climax of it is a conference held over a number of days this summer in Geneva, and some of the world's experts and authorities on Calvin in the conservative Christian church, names that would be very familiar to your listeners, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Are going to be either giving a more of a formal lecture or, as in my case, preaching a sermon, all of it relating in some way to Calvin and the fact that and all this will be taking place in the church that Calvin ministered in the 16th century.
The blog there is Kelvin500.org. Is that what the location is?
Yes, the blog.
Not your blog, I'm sorry. I meant for the tours and
for the tour, yes.
And the other events.
Kelvin500.org, I believe that is.
We've had Dr. David Hall on the broadcast, and he just did a wonderful job writing about the legacy of John Calvin. He's got his own book out, and he is really the person that has organized this tremendous tour that's taking place. You can go out to their website, as we just mentioned, Kelvin500.org, and when you go out there, you can see all of the events that are taking place, and hopefully some of our listeners may be interested in taking that tour. I think it's still open. They're still taking registrations for it. As Dr. Thomas just mentioned, there's far too many names on that list for us to mention here at the close of the broadcast today, but a lot of folks that you would know are going to be speaking at these events, and boy, what an education. This is like going to a year of seminary to be able to go there and listen to all these folks talk about the Reformation and about these specific aspects of it concerning John Calvin, so it would be a real treat to be able to do that.
And I should point out that the Calvin's Institute's blog, that is our own blog, it would be a separate website, and for that you need to go to reformation21.org.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see the Institute's blog there on the front page of reformation21.org.
Annette had asked the question, you know, what is Reformation or Reformation 21? Of course, we can't go into a long discussion about what the Reformation itself was, but when she sends me that email, maybe I can give her some more sources. But Reformation 21 is the Reformation in the 21st century. You know, how does this impact what we think, how we think about the gospel, how we think about the subjects related to the Reformation? And so there's where the name of the
right. And it's the online magazine of the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals.
Amen.
ACE. And the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals have their own website, too. And you can go, if you go to reformation21.org, you'll also see a link to the mother of Reformation 21, which is the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals.
Well, Rick Phillips is on this station as well. I think Sunday at 9 o'clock, his broadcast is on here from Second Pres in downtown Greenville. And by the way, the PRTS conference is coming here to Greenville. We're looking forward to that. Dr. Thomas, thank you very much for being with us on the program today. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Okay. That was Dr. Derek Thomas talking about blogging the institutes. Up next is Albert Moeller. Dr. Moeller will be with me on Thursday's broadcast talking about his latest book, Desire and Deceit. But I'll also ask him about Calvin. And also, we now have the information about the January 14th, Wednesday, January 14th edition of the Pastors Fellowship of Greater Greenville. That information is posted out on our website at www.knowingthetruth.org. Dr. Michael Barrett will be our special guest speaker there. It'll be held at Heritage Bible Church. Go out to our website and you'll see all that information. Join us again on Thursday right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk.